I'm so grateful to be in the house of the Lord and take God's word, amen? Take God's word and punch holes in the darkness. Like the little boy said about his flashlight, that said, what are you doing? He said, I'm punching holes in the darkness. And so that's what I want to do tonight. I want to punch holes in the darkness. Let's all stand. We're going to turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. And we're going to share three verses with you, verse 8, 9, and 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I want to use for a subject tonight, Jesus is my King. You may be seated. Amen. I have no king but Jesus. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it says in capital letters concerning Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I want to make it very clear tonight, Jesus is my King in capital letters. Amen. And I'm grateful for the fact that Jesus Christ is my King, and I have no king but Jesus. And I'm thankful for the fact that he's an incredible God. There are literally millions and millions of reasons why Jesus is my King. But if he wasn't my King, he'd still be my King, because nobody's going to get by without him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whether you're saved or, you know, whether you're a saint or an ain't, he's still King. Whether you live for him or not live for him, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His position is not changed by my decision. But I'm glad that I made the right decision to say Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there are millions and millions of reasons why Jesus is my King, but I want to share some of those reasons why Jesus is my King. I want to begin by saying that Jesus is a good God. I said he's a good God. Nobody wants a wicked king. Nobody wants a king that brings misery and punishment to his subjects. Nobody wants a king that usurps authority over its people and makes them feel unwanted and unloved. But Jesus is such a dynamic king. He's a good king. And he makes every one of us in this room feel wanted and loved. Amen. And I'm grateful for the fact that God is much more, and this is my first point I want to put out, God is much more than judgment. As we read the first scripture starting, but God commendeth his love toward us in while we were yet sinners, in that, how many know my first 22 years I lived in that? Hello? I got saved at 23 years old. The first 22 years of my life, almost to 23 years, on January I gave my heart to Christ, I lived in that. And if you live in that, that's a bad place to live. I'd rather live in this, the love of God, the grace of God, the Spirit of God. So I'm living in this, the very presence of the Lord. But the Bible says in that confusion, in that sin, in that turmoil, in that ungodliness, Christ still loved us. God was still for us. The Bible says that God the Father commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, not just for the person that thinks he's good, but for the person that knows he's wicked and vile. Jesus died on the cross for the wicked, amen, and the sinner. And you may not consider yourself wicked, but that's a matter of opinion about those who view you. But when Jesus Christ came into my life, he changed my life. He spun me around. You say, can't you be nice when you're preaching? I'm not trying to be nice. I'm just trying to preach the Bible. Too many preachers spend too much time trying to be nice, and they say things that they shouldn't say. And then, of course, there's the other side that says things they shouldn't say. But I've never said anything I shouldn't say. I mean, believe that. The Bible says that God recommends His love to us. And we need to start recommending that love. That word commendeth means to strongly recommend. And not only that, to bring up into one's heart and face the love of God. And it says, Christ died for us. Now, I want to say right now that Jesus is my king, and I have no king but Jesus, because He is the only rightful person to the throne. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to simply say this, He's more than judgment. Now, a lot of folks think, well, God's just judgment. No, God's more than just judgment. In fact, God turned judgment around and went to the cross of Calvary in His Son and took our judgment so that we could blow past judgment and have the righteousness of God in our life and have the peace of God in our heart. I'm sure glad Jesus took my whooping. I'm glad Jesus took my dying. I'm glad Jesus took my chastening. I'm glad Jesus took my hell. I'm glad Jesus took my burning, my punishment, my shame, my guilt. I'm glad that God was good enough, powerful enough, wonderful enough, and graceful enough to step into my place and take my shame, my guilt, my hell, my death, and give unto me eternal life. We're talking about Jesus is my king. Can I hear someone say, Jesus is my king? Come on, Jesus, He's not just my king, He's my Savior, and He's more than just judgment. God is more than just judgment. Will God judge the ungodly? Of course He will. But God is such a loving God that He took judgment on the cross of Calvary in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could go to heaven and not have to, you know, we don't even have to go to heaven nervous. I've met so many people on their way to heaven nervous. Amen. A lot of Pentecostals are going to heaven nervous. Some of them ain't going to heaven at all, but some of them are going to heaven nervous. They ask someone, well, do you think that Pentecostal person's going to make heaven? And someone said, yep, if he don't run past it. Amen. It's not so much about how much we jubilee or gyrate in the things of God. It's how much we believe that Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord. You see, you can dance to any old beat, but when you come to the presence of Jesus Christ, then He puts the beat in your heart, and it's called the holy beat of God. Amen. And so I want to say that God's more than judgment. He's more than that because He's such an awesome God that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He's a wonderful God. He will judge someday, but until then, He's telling everybody, all aboard. Amen. All aboard. Say, well, I don't have my ticket. Yes, you do. His name's Jesus. You can get on. Amen. See, if you would just get on and quit trying to spend all your time saying why you're off, you might get somewhere with the Lord. If you'd quit living an off life and start living an on life, you'd start having the blessings of God. Amen. Hello. See, too many people beat themselves to death because they're worthless. Well, I know that, and you do too. But we don't beat ourselves up over it because God took His Son and beat Him up so that you and I don't have to be beat up. The blessing of God, the mercy of God. And so not only is God much more than judgment, He's a God of love and a God of salvation and a God of mercy and tenderness, but God is also much more because of His Son Jesus. God has much more for us in His Son. Let me say that again. God has so much for us in His Son. If you're a Christian, you know you got saved because you got in His Son. If you're a born-again child of God, you know that you got forgiveness, you got the mercy of God in your life because you came to Jesus Christ. Well, pray tell me why you would think that everything's going to go south and wrong and bad on you because you don't live up to a certain standard. Listen to me. We ought to all live up to a certain standard. You say, whose standard? Mine. The standard I've made for myself. Amen. You know what my standard is? I'm going to measure myself up to Jesus and always come short. Always come short. But I always fall at his feet and say, have mercy on me, my Lord. Amen. My Lord and my God. And so God has much more for us in his Son. Notice verse 10. For if, now I know that if's a big word, and a lot of people are tripping over the if. Someone said, you know, if worms carried machine guns, birds would leave them alone. But notice it says, for if, when we were enemies, how many in this room ever was an enemy? For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So we were brought to reconciliation through the death of his Son. Meaning the death of Jesus Christ is what makes us right with God. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what makes us stay right with God. Need to remember that. That's real important. Verse 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more. Let me know, God's always much more. If God wasn't much more, we'd be in trouble. But God is much more. Say, oh man, I messed up. No, God's much more. The Bible says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what? Life. Now he says we were reconciled to God by his death, but now we are reconciled to life by, saved by his life. His death brought, well, let me put it like this. Jesus Christ made it possible. And through the grace of God, Jesus Christ makes it happen. Amen? That's one of the themes of our church. In fact, we've been looking at, this is the place where God makes it possible, and through Christ, we make it happen. And Jesus Christ always makes it happen. And I'm glad that we're living on the hallelujah happening side. Amen. But there's much more being reconciled. We shall be saved by his life. Saved by what? We were forgiven by his death. We were made right with God through his death. But he didn't just stay dead. He rose again from the grave. Amen. And when he rose again from the grave, it reconciled us to God much more. You know, it was an awesome thing that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Awesome thing that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sins. An awesome, wonderful blessing that Jesus Christ took our suffering, took our death, took our shame, and died on the cross of Calvary. But much more, he blew past that cross, went into the tomb, and much more, he reconciles us to God through his resurrection, through his life. Woo! If you don't shout, I will. Woo! Glory to God. And so it says, we shall be saved by his life, forgiven by his death, given hope by his death, being saved by his death from the wrath of God, but much more, we are saved by his life. Amen. And that could say by his resurrection, or we could say by his intercession for you and I. Amen. How many know God is up there in heaven right now? Jesus is, and he's praying for us. Well, I appreciate the prayers. I mean, in this room, appreciate the prayers. I mean, I appreciate Chuck's prayers for me, and I appreciate Brother Don's prayers for me. I appreciate Brother Jerry's prayers for me. I appreciate your prayers for me. Dave, I appreciate your prayers for me. I appreciate church. I appreciate your prayers for me. But I'm much more, appreciate the prayers of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you might not be always connected, but Jesus is. Hello? Hello? Does that mean you don't get through? No. Just down the road, Jesus sends out a team of angels to find where the line's down and connect it back together. If you don't believe that, you'll believe it when I preach from Daniel chapter 10 this coming Sunday morning. We'll be talking a lot about angels. But go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, and that'll kind of connect us with the life and the goodness of God, the intercession of God. What shall we then say to these things? What things? Well, just pick the thing. Amen? What shall we say to them things? Well, just pick the things. Well, you could say the good things of God. Absolutely. The love of God, the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the redemption of Christ. We can pick those things. Or we can pick even the things that are trying to pull us down. What shall we say unto them things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice he doesn't say what can be against us. He said who. It's not the what's that bother me a great deal. It's the who's. I understand the what's. Storms, and heartaches, and persecutions. But when you get the who's behind it, it's a little worse. Amen? I mean, come on. I don't want no who's who after me. But if that happens, it doesn't matter, because God doesn't have a who's who book in heaven. Jesus is all that matters. But if God be for us, who can be against us? That's a great question. And the answer is nobody. I said the answer is nobody. Not even the devil. Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, in the gurgling, in the bleeding, in the punishment, in the cross, in the dying, in the horrific pain and suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross of Calvary, the scourging by the Roman soldiers. He took all that. He spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, with Jesus, freely give us all things? Wow. I started out living for God with Jesus, and I'm going to finish living for God with Jesus. You see, it's not, well, bless God, I got saved, but whoops, I lost it. No, remember, shall not God by his Son, God who spared not his Son Jesus Christ, very clear here in Romans chapter 8, very clear, God who spared not his own Son Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, shall he not with him by Jesus Christ give us all things. Isn't that good? Verse 32. Freely. Everybody say freely. That means it don't cost a dime. Well, I thought I had to earn it. No, you don't have to earn it. Are you listening to me? I was going to preach tonight on Moses when he made excuses and argued with God in Exodus 3. And he said that his first argument was, I'm a nobody. Well, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that with me. I'm not going to argue that. Come on, God knows we're nobody without him. Amen? Hello? But Jesus made us somebody in the blood of Christ. And notice it says, by the Son of God, he freely gives us all things. Well, what things do we need? Well, it's the things I need to go to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus gives them to us freely. We're fully equipped to go to heaven. I said, we're fully equipped to go to heaven. The Bible says we are complete in him. We're not incomplete. We are complete in him. Now, you may be feeling in this room you're incomplete. But if you have him, you are complete in him. You said, boy, I need a lot of work. Well, the Lord's okay with that. The Lord may make a big old manhole in your heart and go down in there and jackhammer you around a little. Sure, being under construction might be a good idea for some of us, but I think I'll pass. But anyway, at least I'd love to pass. But not only is God much more than judgment, and God has much more through his Son, but number three, my King reigns. My King Jesus reigns much more than this world. Did you hear what I'm saying? My King Jesus reigns much more than this world. Or we think sickness reigns. No, it don't. Hello? Well, any sickness that you can put it, you can put some chemical in a syringe and stick a needle in your arm and you know, vaccinate you from getting a sickness, and I'm all for that, but that sickness is not that tough. Now, I realize sickness can take someone out and they can die because of sickness. And, you know, I'm trusting that I don't die because of sickness. I'd like to die because of old age. But if that doesn't happen, then see if you can get the police to go out and see what Judy's been up to. But anyway, they asked Billy Graham one time. They asked his wife, Billy Graham, what was her name, Ruth? they asked Ruth Graham one time, have you ever thought about divorce? And she said, no, but I've thought about murder several times. Only Ruth Graham could say that. But my king reigns much more than this world. There's nothing in this world that my King of Kings and Lord of Lords can't conquer. There's nothing in this world that Jesus is not bigger than. There's nothing in this world that's more powerful than Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world that can alienate me and cause me to go to hell when Jesus Christ has redeemed me from the lake of fire and death. The Bible says we have been saved from death through his life. And we've been saved from the wrath of God through his life. I'm glad that I'm saved from hell. I'm also saved from sin, and I'm also saved from myself. And God have mercy, I want to be saved from you. And the Lord does that too, right? Come on now. Have I convinced you that you're glad you came tonight? I hope so. But Jesus is my King. And there's some things that I want to point out about my King reigns. We sing that song, Our God Reigns. Beautiful song, Our God Reigns. I'd sing it to you, but we don't want copyright laws to step in on me because I am so dynamic in it. Actually, they'd send me a poor boy offer it or something. But anyway, we sing, My God Reigns. He reigns, and he does reign. But I want you to see something that is incredible here in the fifth chapter of Romans, verse 17. And we're going to look at verse 17, and then we're going to jump down to verse 20 and 21. And this, my king reigns much more than this world. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, that's Adam. Because Adam and Eve sinned, because of one man's offense, sin, death reigned. What does a king do? A king reigns. So he says, because of Adam's sin, death reigns by that one man. Much more, they that receive abundance of grace. Woo! That means Chuck has received an abundance of grace. You and I have received an abundance of grace. And we've received it through the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And it says, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that's what we got from Jesus, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, who is he saying is going to reign here? He's saying you and I is going to reign. We're going to reign through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice he's very clear that Jesus gives us the gift of righteousness and we shall reign in life by one. In other words, Jesus Christ makes us reign over death, hell, and the grave. If you're worrying and you're fearful and you're afraid and you're disturbed and perturbed, I don't know which is worse, being disturbed or perturbed, but I met someone in the foyer a while ago that wasn't disturbed, they were perturbed. And I don't really know the definition between the two, but I knew the difference. Hello? So you talking about me? Not at all. Not at all. Well, I think you were. Quit judging me. But verse 17 says, death reigns because of Adam's fall. First Adam. Much more, they that receive the abundance of grace, there it is, and the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one. We reign through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be fearful and afraid. We're strong in Jesus Christ. We don't have to be terrified of what's on the horizon tomorrow. We reign through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be afraid of food and raiment and water to drink and safety in our. We reign through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be fearful. You don't have to lay in bed and worry and fret. Hey, really, please, listen to me. I've laid in bed at times thinking wrong thinkings. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever laid in bed and didn't get a bit of sleep? Because you're thinking about, okay, people don't like me. Nobody cares. Well, go to sleep. because nobody cares. Just go to sleep. Oh, I'm so encouraging tonight, ain't I? Barbara, I'm such encouraging tonight. But, you know, there's no sense in the both of us being away. God's going to be up all the time. Just go on to sleep. He'll take care of it. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are restless nights. I think Judy didn't get no sleep here a couple of nights, and I didn't ask her. She was probably staying up all night confessing my sins, but her mind was spinning. And trust me, you don't need a wife that has a mind spinning really too fast because it's scary. Amen? Come on. Hello. Well, okay, let's just settle down. Verse 20, moreover, I love this, moreover. That means over the top. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, by the law, we feel dirty, grimy, and stingy, and sinful. But where sin abounds, wherever sin abounds, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Wherever sin abounds, grace did much more abound. On the cross of Calvary, grace did much more abound. I want you to know, no matter how dark it gets outside in this generation, no matter what happens to in our land of America, no matter what happens around the world, we are on the winning side. Grace is abound. God loves us, and Jesus is still King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he returns, he's going to say, I'm back, and Jesus is coming, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's not coming for a vote. He's not coming for election. He's coming to take over. Amen. Well, if it's all the same to you and me, I just soon him take over now. And I'm glad he's took over my life. Amen. Grace did much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death. How many would agree the graveyard's full of this statement? As sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you got to admit, when it talks about Jesus reigning, let me say it real quick, my King reigns in much more love. My King reigns in much more love. My King reigns in much more grace. My King reigns in much more than judgment. My King reigns over death, hell, and the grave. My King reigns much more love and much more grace and much more hope and much more strength and much more power, much more Jesus Christ, much more authority in the Word of God, much more Bible, much more Spirit of God, much more grace of God, much more strength and energy in our heart, much more life, much more goodness of God, much more. God is our much more God. God is our much more God. Jesus reigns in much more love, much more grace, much more judgment than judgment, and much more than death. Isn't that good? Well, I'm going to go one more place. I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't like trials. But you know what a trial is for? How many know what a trial is for? Anybody really know what a trial is for? To decide whether somebody's guilty or innocent. A trial is to find out the truth. Right? Now notice what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And verse 6 says, we'll have manifold temptations. That word manifold, many different colors and sizes and shapes. We have heaviness. But verse 7 says that the trial of your faith. What's on trial? Not God. What's on trial? Not Jesus. What's on trial? My faith and your faith. That's what's on trial. That the trial of your faith being much more precious. Boy, I don't agree with that, but the Bible says I'm wrong. I have to agree with that. The trial of my faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Gold perishes, though it be tried with fire. No matter how you burn or melt or purify that gold, it still is going to perish one day. And it says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. God has made much more things precious. God has much more precious things planned through our trials. There's much more precious things planned to the trial of our faith. We don't want to feel the sting. We don't want to feel the burn. We don't want to feel the discouragement. We don't want to feel the pressure. But God says, feel the pressure. God says, feel the burn. God says, feel the pressure. Feel the trial, because in the end, it's going to purify your faith. And even though gold that is tried in the fire perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith will be pure, purer than gold. Our faith, even though we've been tried in the fire, one day Jesus Christ will show up and he will say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few tiny, tiny things, but I'll make you rule over many, many big things. You say, well, that ain't what the Bible says. No, but that's what you feel. Amen? I want to do right. But the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. So God has much more precious things planned through our trials. And those precious things brings us on the other side saying, "Woo! I've got it, I've got it, I've got it." And it's those church services where you walk out of the building saying, "Whoo, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it." And then it's other church services that you walk in under the load of trials and say, "Oh me, I ain't got it. I lost it. I ain't got it." Well, the truth is, if you're a child of God, you're not going to quit. Now, you may have to walk back into the ring and pick up the towel several times, but you're not going to quit. You may be under the gourd as Jonah was, but you're not going to quit. You may say, "I'm just sick of it. I'm going to get." You're not going to quit. You may quit for a little while, but God will just put you more under the fire, and you'll say, "Why is my life going bazooka?" Well, maybe the Lord just wants to make you more precious. Amen. Hello, precious. Amen. Joel, you're precious. Now, nobody, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like I'm lying while I'm preaching right now, but Chuck, you're precious. Little Chuck, you're precious. Hello? Jay, never mind. But anyway, precious. Hello? Our faith is tried. I want to say something right now about, and I didn't get permission to say this, so he'll just have to forgive me if he don't like what I'm saying. But J.R. and Anna's been going through the fire. They're going through the fire. And J.R. has went through a lot of pressure, and Anna as well. Anna went through most of her fire before the place she's at now. And J.R. is in that fire now. But I want you to know what a day that will be when Jesus, we will see. What a day that will be when Jesus Christ says to J.R., "Good job. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen. Hello. And the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold tried in the fire. Now, this is the last part of the message. I want you to listen. Whom having not seen. Oh, I want to see him, don't you? I'm talking about whom is Jesus. Who do you think whom is in the Bible? Whom is Jesus? Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now, you see him not. Now notice it says, you haven't seen him, yet you love him. And though you don't even see him now, yet you believe. You don't see your way through it, but yet you believe. Not only do you believe, you rejoice. And not only do you rejoice, but with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Isn't that good? Amen. Trials. I hate them. Pressure. I despise it. Hard times and storms, I abhor that. But if we never went through any storms, if we never went through any pressures, we wouldn't be precious. Because you see, a diamond is just a hunk of coal that was under pressure for many, many years. Probably under the pressure of the flood of Noah. And diamonds was under so much pressure, that coal became a diamond because of pressure. Listen to me. And precious doesn't come because you were born cutie. Precious comes because you die sweet and believing and trusting in God. Though you haven't seen Him, yet you rejoice. Though you haven't seen Jesus Christ, and though you don't see Him now, you still believe. Remember what Jesus Christ said to Thomas in, where was it, in John 20? And Thomas said, except I see the nail prints in his hand, put my finger in the print of nails, see his pierced side, thrust my hand aside, I will not believe. Remember Jesus showed up and said, Thomas, come here, behold my hands and my side, be not doubtless, but believing. I mean, remember what Thomas did. He fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus Christ said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. But blessed is this congregation who has not seen. Blessed is he that has not seen, yet they believe. Now, I want you to know that we're precious. A diamond is precious because of its pressure. A pearl is precious because of its irritation. A little grain of sand gets in an oyster, and that little grain of sand is worse than a gravel in your foot, in your shoe. And that grain of sand, that oyster, the oyster begins to release some things from its body. And that slimy stuff that it releases, and I can't believe some people eat it. But anyway, and it releases that stuff to cover that sand. And that grain of sand is covered with slime. And that oyster just keeps covering it. And over a long process, there's a pearl. And if you're going through irritation right now, it may be because God wants to make a pearl in your life. Hello? Now you can fuss about the sand, but don't fuss about the sand. Just keep releasing that slimy stuff. Whatever that is, tears and repentance to the Lord. Remember I said the other day, that your grieving over sin, your repentance over sin, your grieving over sin should be greater than your act of your sin. Should be greater than your act of sin. So you say, well, what's wrong with me? I can't get over my sin I committed 20 years ago, or my sin I committed 10 years ago, or my sin I committed 5 years ago. You're not supposed to get over it. You're supposed to make that release and begin to show your contrition to God. Are you greater than David? How many would admit that David sure sinned? I mean, David sinned so bad that they had songs of the drunkards in the bar rooms about him. Talk about a politician that went bad. Boy, David had it. It went bad on David because he had had an affair with Bathsheba. The affair wasn't so bad, but he had her husband killed. He murdered. He lied about it. He murdered Uriah, and he was just a wicked person. But yet God says that David's a man after my own heart. Well, we're not going to give David any excuse for what he did. But I want you to know your whole book of Psalms, at least most of it, except for Asaph, most of your book of Psalms is David grieving and repenting over his grievous sin. And how many would agree that the book of Psalms was greater than David's sin? So you're not supposed to get over it immediately if you're a backslider. Listen, you can come to this altar tonight as a sinner and get saved immediately. You can never been saved, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, run to this altar. oh, gee, I can't remember everything I've done, but I believe on you, and you can get saved as a sinner, born again, just like that. But as a Christian, you sin, you fail, and it's a little more of a challenge to find the joy again. A little more of a challenge to find, because you can't just run to the altar and make it right. You've got to leave the altar and go out into the neighborhood or go back to your family and make it right. And you've got to spend a lifestyle walking with that dragging corpse behind you, understanding that God's grace is sufficient. Just drag it on behind you. Keep dragging. Keep going to Jesus Christ. Don't give up, because the trial of your faith is more precious than gold tried in the fire. Amen. Hello. Now, I know I'm speaking to some people in this room right now, but I want you to stop and consider that a sinner really doesn't care whether he disobeys God or not. He wants to go party, do whatever he wants. A sinner really doesn't care. I mean, a sinner is blind. It doesn't have a knowledge of God. Their mind is blinded. And so a sinner really doesn't care. If you care about your sin tonight, if you care about your faltering, it's a perfect indication that you're God's child. King of Kings, Jesus is my King. Stand with me. Jesus is my King. Much more. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's much more than anyone on this earth. Jesus is much more than any politician. He's much more than any leader, much more than any other past, present, or future kings. He's much more, because he's God. And he's a rightful heir to the throne of all of his creation. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Josh is going to bring a song. I felt in my spirit this is what I needed to preach tonight. And I want you to understand that I hate pressure. I hate the pain and the trials. But in the end, it just proves one thing, that I'm God's child. In the end, it just proves that I have the real thing. I've been preaching for 43 years. I'm still in church. I'm still serving God. You know what that proves? That proves that I'm real. Now, there are preachers who've been in church for 40 years, 50 years, and they're not real. But you know what I'm talking about? God is an awesome, incredible God. Most of the preachers that's been in church for 50 years or whatever, and they're still in church and they're not even saved, they get a pretty good salary, that which you don't give me. Don't misunderstand me. I know you would give me $1 million if you had it. You would. I have no doubt you'd pay me more than, I mean, you'd take good care of me. You do take good care of me. I have no doubt that you would do all you could. But hey, we're doing pretty good, amen? Judy's a good cook. I've got a car that starts and runs. I've got some clothes. I don't need a lot of money. I just need King Jesus. Amen? Altar's open.